said Staines. Her hands had moved to her belly.
You don't need to tell me where he is, she said. But I need you to take him a message, an important message, from me.
The Ascendant, in which Terau Taufare declines to mention Francis Carver's name to Crosby Wells, much less to describe the circumstances of their brief interaction 1 month prior, an omission that owes in equal parts to a deeply private nature and to a certain cunning when it comes to financial profit. The next time he sees Francis Carver, Taufare thinks, he will make an easy shilling, perhaps more. Crosby Wells had bought 4 panes of glass for a quartered window, but he had yet to cut the hole and set the sill. For the moment, the panes were propped against the wall, reflecting faintly the flickering lamplight and the square grating of the stove. I knew a man who lost an arm in the floods at Dunstan, Wells was saying. He was lying on his bolster, a bottle of spirits on his chest. Taufare sat opposite, nursing a bottle of his own. Got caught in a rapid, you see, and his arm got trapped and they couldn't save it. He had a plain name, Smith or Stone or something like that. Anyway, the point is, he talked of it afterwards, the incident, and his real sorrow, he said, was that the arm he'd lost had been tattooed. A full-rigged ship was the picture, a present to himself after coming round the Horn, and it bothered him extremely that he lost it. For some reason it stayed with me, that story. Losing a tattoo. I asked him if he mightn't just tattoo the other arm, but he was strange about it. I'll never do that, he said. I'll never do it.
It is painful, said Taufare.
Tamoko.
Wells looked over at him.
Is it sometimes a shock, he said, to see yourself? After you haven't been near a looking-glass in a while, I mean. Do you forget?
No, Taufare said. Never.
His face was shadowed. The lamplight accented the lines around his mouth, giving his expression a hawkish, solemn look.
I think I would. We have a saying, Taufare said. Taya amoko he hoa matenga mau.
I cut a man's face with a knife, Wells said, still staring at him. Gave him a scar. Right here. Eye to mouth. It bled like anything.
Did yours bleed like anything?
Yes.
Have you ever killed a man, Taufare?
No.
No, said Wells, turning back to his bottle.
Nor have I.
Part 8. The Truth About Aurora. The 22nd of August, 1865. 42 degrees, 43 minutes south. 170 degrees, 58 minutes east. Saturn in Virgo. In which Kui Long brings a complaint before the law, and George Shepherd, whose personal hatred of Suk Yong Sheng has grown over time to include all Chinese men, declines to honour it, an injustice for which he does not, either then or afterwards, feel any compunction.
I do not understand what you are saying.
Ah Kui sighed. He pointed a third time to his certificate of indenture, which lay between them on Shepherd's desk. In the box marked present site of employment was written the word Aurora.
Duffer, he explained. Aurora is Duffer claim.
The Aurora is a Duffer claim, and you work the Aurora, yes. That much I understand.
Mannering, said Arqui. Mannering make Duffer not Duffer.
Mannering make Duffer not Duffer, Shepherd repeated.
Very good,
said Arqui, nodding.
Very bad man.
Which is he, very good or very bad?
Arqui frowned, then he said,
Very bad man.
How does he make the Duffer not a Duffer? How?
How?
Arqui took his purse and held it up. Moving very deliberately, so that the action would not be lost on Shepherd, he extracted a silver penny, which he then transferred to his left pocket. He waited a moment, and then he took the penny from his pocket and returned it to his purse as before. Shepherd sighed.
Mr. Quee, he said, I see that the term of your indenture will not expire for some years. The term of my patience, however, reached its expiration some minutes ago. I have neither the resources nor the inclination to launch an investigation into Mr. Mannering's finances on the strength of a half-articulated tip. I suggest you return to the Aurora, and count yourself lucky that you have any kind of work at all.
Jupiter in Sagittarius, in which Alistair Lauderback, having now officially announced his intention to run for the Westland seat in the 4th New Zealand Parliament, an ambition that, in addition to furthering his already illustrious political career, will take him over the Alps to Westland proper in the coming months, thus granting the interview his bastard brother has so long desired, now turns his mind to practical matters, or more accurately, entreats an old associate to turn his mind to practical matters on his, Lauderback's, behalf.
Akaroa, the 22nd of August. My dear Tom, I expect you know already of my ambition to run for the Westland seat, but if this news comes as a surprise to you, I've enclosed an article from the Littleton Times that explains the announcement and my reasons for it in more detail than I have time for here. You can be sure that I'm eager to see the fine sights of West Canterbury with my own eyes. I plan to arrive in Hokitika by the 15th of January, an estimate dependent upon weather, as I will make the journey overland rather than by sea, in order to follow and inspect the future Christchurch Road. I prefer to travel light, as you know. I have arranged for a trunk of personal effects to be transferred from Littleton in the last days of December. Might the Virtue collect the trunk in Dunedin prior to her departure on the 10th of January and convey it to the coast? As a West Canterbury foreigner, I shall defer to your expertise on questions of Hokitika lodging, dining, coach hire, club membership, etc. I trust fully in your good taste and capability, and remain yours, etc., A. Lauderback.
Moon in Leo, new. In which Mannering, driving Anna Wetherill to Canyere, perceives in her a new quality, a hardness, a kind of distance, an observation that moves him internally to pity, though when he speaks, some 3 miles after this observation is first made, it is not to console her, the intervening miles having wrought in him a hardness of his own.
Misery won't do,